I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Are you even listening to our story?
Yes.
Well, listen to this. We have a story to tell. So listen.
Okay.
And write it down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Jimmy World! Woo! Can I get a woo-woo?
Really bad. Really very, very bad. Very, very, oh God. Really deeply. Oh, I want to go back in time to before I did that.
Can I get a woo-woo?
Not at all.
Why are you the worst?
If I tell you, you'll be doing it.
I need a chill on drinking.
Oh, my God. Do I have to?
That's just not true.
I am naughty.
I don't know why that had to be brought in.
And now.
The nightmare continues. The nightmare continues.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, about half of those. You hear back and you go, I don't remember saying that.
And why would I have said it? Most of them, I say.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 21st of March. Police say they've arrested a man several days after a complaint. Someone was spotted crawling under...
you're just going to launch into it? No, like, hey, how's everything?
Hey, how's everything?
Like, you didn't even take a breath.
I'm excited about this
Kevin.
Story.
All right.
I'm really...
It was a shock to my system.
My bad. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I'm doing pretty good.
You better have a better answer than pretty good, or
but
it's a waste of time.
You literally were like, it is 5:40. Please say that. What just happened?
Excited about the story.
You're really excited about the story. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Shh, shh.
Please continue.
Police say they've arrested a man several days after a complaint. Someone was spotted crawling under library tables and smelling a woman's feet.
All right.
At a Florida International University.
Of course you were excited about this.
No, come on.
Oh.
First of all, there's still libraries?
Well, it's at a school, so I...
Second of all,
yeah, okay.
How do you sort of hide when you're trying to... Aren't the tables pretty small? Can't you see a guy coming?
Yeah, maybe the old drop the pen trick.
Oh,
take a whiff.
Interesting.
I've done that one for years.
I know that there's... I know there are a lot of people that have a lot of things that turn them on.
Oh, yeah.
And to each his own.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an adult, you're not hurting anybody else, fine.
Right.
Some I can't understand, however. And the smelling of the feet.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem sexy.
No. And shouldn't it be consensual?
I mean, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Where is this taking place
again?
Oh,
this turns out it's in Florida.
Okay.
Florida International University.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, too, it would have to be somewhere warm because of open-toed shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just smelling a sneaker or a boot.
Yeah, you don't want sneakers.
You
That's a C block. You want the actual foot. Am I right?
I think you're right.
Here's the news report. This story has everything.
Breaking news right now in Southwest Miami-Dade. Police have now detained a man, and we're now waiting to see if he's the same man wanted for a strange fetish at Florida International University.
By the way, a 52-year-old.
Oh, sir.
Smelling feet.
Yeah.
52.
It's not a young man's game.
The man police are looking for has been called a foot sniffer. Let's get right out to CBS4's Gary Nelson at the police substation to explain. Gary.
It's funny to me, though, that they named him the foot sniffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in all the headlines. That's
right.
What the anchors say every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Foot sniffer.
But you know what I need? I need Gary to explain.
What that is?
Yeah.
And use the word foot sniffer some more?
Well, I'm being told here at the Kendall station that Miami-Dade police do believe...
Now, this guy's miserable, right?
Yeah,
You've done TV for a long time. You've done the funny stories.
Right. He got this one. He's like, God damn it.
This is not going to get me an award.
No.
They have the so-called FIU foot sniffer in custody, and this fellow has a more serious past than just sniffing women's feet. Let's take a look at the video. Within the last hour or so in the area of 97th Court. And
now, I'd like to say that they had video of him sniffing feet.
Right.
Because wouldn't that have been the best?
You would think, yeah.
They didn't, though.
No.
They
guy sounds winded. This story took a lot out of him.
Did this reporter track him down and tackle him? I don't know. But he, they'll tell you in the story, but he got on his scooter.
It does have everything.
And ran from the police on a scooter.
Okay.
So the video that this reporter is referring to is the scooter and the guy on the ground, the police surrounding him and the whole deal like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
79th Street Southwest. Miami-Dade police got a call from a citizen about a fellow who looked familiar. They'd seen him in the news and a scooter he was riding.
Okay, so this guy, they had done news reports on him. Hey, there's a foot sniffer out there.
Uh-huh.
We don't know who he is. Help us find him.
Right.
They put a picture up and they put another picture up, and then the third picture is him on his little scooter.
Oh, sir.
So somebody saw that picture. Do you ever look at those?
I do occasionally.
Just glance at them or whatever?
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd recognize someone from it.
Somebody looked close enough at that wanted picture that they saw him miles from Florida International University.
Wow.
They just saw him riding his scooter, and they called the police and said, that's the guy.
Huh.
And the police got behind him, and he took off on his scooter. I don't know how much you could take off.
Right.
But they had seen a photograph of it in the news. Police gave chase. The guy on the scooter flees from them. He finally wrecks. The cops take him down and take him in. They suspect that he is, in fact, the same fellow who, for at least several weeks, has been roaming the FIU campus in West Miami-Dade, sniffing the feet of women.
Come on. He's been getting away with it for weeks.
Ugh.
How does that happen?
I don't know. Maybe you just don't notice someone's underneath the table. You're busy. You're studying.
Right.
You're cramming for a test.
Sure.
I'm not thinking, is someone sniffing my feet?
Right, but the first time you hear or sense or tell, you can tell that he's there, don't you contact somebody?
Oh, well, sure.
Of course, librarians aren't known for taking people down, but I'm just saying.
True.
This guy got away with it for weeks.
Yeah.
This flyer that FIU had put out, it contains three photographs of the subject along with the scooter that he was riding, virtually identical.
This guy's just miserable, right? He can't breathe, first of all. And second of all, he just hates his life,
yeah.
This reporter.
Yeah, all of the above.
The guy looked like the guy in the picture, and somebody saw him, and then the police took chase.
To the one that you saw in the video just a moment ago. Now, after police took this guy down this afternoon, they bring him in, and we're waiting confirmation now, waiting for FIU investigators to come and perhaps positively identify this fellow.
Okay, so they don't even know it's him yet. They
okay.
think it's him.
All right.
They think it's him, but they're not positive. So they're waiting for officials
mm-hmm.
from the university to come ID him.
Oh, I hope it's the foot sniffer.
I do too.
Right?
I do too.
What if it's just a random guy in a scooter? Oh, he's like, you guys, I'm on a scooter.
The person from Florida International University should show up without shoes and socks. They should, just to tell.
Oh, take a whiff.
And just go.
You want to.
As the foot sniffer they have been pursuing. We're live in West Miami-Dade. Gary Nelson, CBS 4 News.
Gary, thank you.
Gary, thank you.
Oh, Gary.
The foot sniffer.
Submit that for an Emmy.
Right.
Am I right?
52 years old, crawling under tables and sniffing feet.
Doesn't he know about Craigslist?
I mean, he must
or
not.
Maybe that's probably the thrill of it, is, you know, finding unsuspecting feet.
I assume so. I don't know. Listen, I don't know.
Let's delve into the mind of a foot sniffer.
I'd rather not.
No?
If you don't
okay.
mind. Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
No way. No way. Get real.
You know, it's March Madness time.
I do.
Omar has a story about winning a tremendous amount of money
mm-hmm.
gambling on.
Well, he's a huge. Wait.
Yeah. He's not even a sports fan.
Huh.
Right. Winning a lot of money. And it seems like that's the way it goes with gambling on March Madness.
Okay.
I'm already out of my bracket, by the way, gone.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so that's how that works. RJ Bell will join us, talking about the NCAA tournament as well. We have comedian Sarah Tiana on the program in the 8 o'clock hour. Love her, too. She's on April Foolishness. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give you a chance to win tickets when she's here.
Excellent.
We have April Foolishness opening act contest where we're taking comedians and we're finding somebody to open up for April Foolishness, which is going to be cool. And we've got Ashley Esqueda on the program today from CNET talking about this Facebook data breach.
Yikes.
Only 50 million people.
Yeah, a lot of layers to this story.
I'm starting to feel like it's just a ridiculous notion to think that your information is not going to be stolen at some point. It seems like every single company gets compromised somewhere, and they get personal information.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to post mine today. Just put everything up.
Okay.
Make it easy. That way I don't have to dread.
That's great.
Right? I'm smart that way.
So smart.
We will take a break, and we'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I was shocked to see you this morning, Kevin. I'm not going to lie.
Shocked to see me?
Yeah, why? I thought you were winning the lottery.
I mean, I bought the ticket, but I haven't checked. Maybe I did win.
Yeah, you didn't.
Okay.
Because there was no winner.
All right.
In last night's drawing for the Mega Millions lottery. That means Friday night's drawing is valued at $421 million. That's $250 million cash value. You going to buy another one?
Of course.
Right?
Because this is the winning one.
Well, I mean,
you have to be positive.
Okay. So you just keep saying it to yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you buy one? Right,
exactly.
Okay.
Somebody who wins it has the same odds I do.
We should buy two tickets and double your
Don't
chances.
Do it, Chip. Don't do it.
Wait,
no.
So it doubles
nope,
your
chance? Nope, we are not getting into
Chip
this.
Says
nope.
It doubles your
That's
chance.
That's correct.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
No, thank you, sir. Daniel Bryan is back, you guys. I don't think you quite understand how huge this is in the world.
I guarantee I don't.
Of WWE. He has been medically cleared. He can return to the ring after 2 years. He had had concussion after concussion. The dude was not supposed to come back to wrestling at all. He has been medically cleared, and he might be appearing in WrestleMania 34. Do you understand? That's coming up in April. That's April 8th in New Orleans. He could be back in WrestleMania. This is huge.
I mean, I can sense your excitement.
Yeah.
But it's not the same excitement that I feel.
Okay, what if I were to tell you he is returning to the same dome in New Orleans where he accomplished one of the most amazing world championships ever, defeating Triple H, Randy Orton, and Batista in the same night to win the WWE World Heavyweight title. What if I tell you that?
Yes.
That was at WrestleMania 30.
Right.
So 4 years later, he's back there. Holy crap. You guys, this is really big.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
I don't think you understand.
I don't understand. I know a lot of our listeners do, and they love it, and they're happy as... I don't know that anyone's as happy as you are, but...
Oh, trust me. Trust me. People are happy. This is huge. He's one of the good guys. He's just... Yes, yes, yes. Daniel Bryan.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I mean, give a call right now. 1-800-520...
No? No, we're not looking for calls.
I mean, this is upsetting. I thought you guys would be a little... I've been holding this in since yesterday afternoon.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy you're happy.
All right. Can I interest you in a movie with Kumail Nanjiani?
Yes, please.
All right. The big six star, Kumail Nanjiani, will star opposite Dave Bautista in the upcoming film Stuber. The Hollywood Reporter says the action comedy will have him playing a mild-mannered Uber driver, which... He also was in The Big Sick.
True.
His name is Stu. He picks up a grizzled cop, played by Dave, who's hot on the trail of a brutal killer. But of course, he gets caught up in the chase and is forced to make decisions which might affect his life, not to mention his Uber five-star rating. Wah, 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 wah.
Yay!
I mean, Kumail, though.
Love.
I'm in.
Love.
Right?
Agreed. Anything. He'll make that funny.
Absolutely. Silicon Valley's back this weekend, right? Maybe next weekend. It is
not
back
positive.
Sometime in the next few weeks, and I am super excited about it because
this Sunday.
This Sunday? Excellent. Huh? Not only is it a great show, but no TJ Miller. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, the excitement, you guys. Seriously. It's like Christmas.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Some birthdays for you. All of these stars born on March 21st. You've got actor Scott Eastwood, Gary Oldman, Matthew Broderick, TV show host Rosie O'Donnell, Sum 41 singer and guitarist Derek Whibley. I'm just going to add a T, Whibley. Not sure why. And one of our all-time favorites, actor, comedian, Rhys Darby.
Love.
Love. And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Omar's really? In the studio. Was telling us yesterday after the meeting that he's won a tremendous amount of money gambling.
Listen,
on March Madness,
Las Vegas is just a huge ATM.
That's
what okay. When I go, they just say, "Mr. Khan, how much money would you like, sir?"
Oh,
this time I said, please just hand me about $900, and they said, "Oh, here you go, sir. Thank you very much. Come again."
Less than me about NCAA basketball.
Listen. I am so good at March Madness that they changed the name to Omarch Madness.
It's Omarch Madness.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I didn't see that change on TV, though.
It's coming. See. They got to get all the graphic artists on it. And they're going to tweak all the logos out.
Now, right. this is what's frustrating to people who try to fill out a bracket. Mm-hmm. And they try to do a little research. And they try to pick the upsets. And they try to really carefully craft their bracket. And then you got a guy like Omar. And Omar wins.
Yeah.
I won big.
And then everyone hates him.
Everybody hated me so much.
You're just repeating what Kevin's saying.
So every year I go with a group of people.
Okay.
No, you're just repeating what I'm saying, sorry. Kevin. And this is about the fourth year I'm going. And I never really have a great time because I'm not a sports guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with these dudes just to hang. It's my father-in-law, brother-in-law, and
they're
some
super
buddies.
Invested in it, right?
They are. They watch, does this stuff happen year-round? Because it seems like it's always on at their house.
No, college basketball happens for a long time. And then March Madness is only for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's constantly like all weekend, each weekend. It's great.
It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. They watch it all the time. And yeah, their notes that they have, it's crazy. Okay? So I'm like, you know what? This time I'm going to make a real effort and gamble on it because they seem to I'm not a gambler. They seem to have real fun when they have money invested in it. They're high-fiving people. It seems really fun. So they go out there on Thursday. I drive up on Friday. So I give them some bets to place. I'm like, hey, could you put these tickets on me on there on Thursday? And then I'll put whatever I need when I get
there.
And
how did you pick those?
So the way I picked was mainly by the seed number. So if it was, number one seed against the number seven seed, I would pick the number one.
Right.
Okay, whatever the
higher. Usually
safe,
yeah.
Right. And except for Nevada. Nevada-Texas game, I picked Nevada because I was going to be in Nevada.
Okay.
Okay? Makes perfect sense.
Let me interrupt here.
Yes.
So of those two, you didn't go with the higher seed.
No.
You went with the city that you were going to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why people hate you.
Right.
Okay.
And then I think there was a Florida Gators and the Florida State. There's two different Florida teams, right, in it. So I just went with Florida because my daughter's softball team, they're the Florida Gators. So I have to go with Florida.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
And no wonder everybody hates you.
So I put in five different tickets on Thursday for me, and both games that I picked on Thursday win.
Okay. Oh, good.
And they cover the spread, I guess. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever
that is. Okay.
Wow.
So then I get this little app so I could play along driving up to Vegas. And it was on the first ticket that I hit, it
By
was
the way,
a five game parlay.
You want to be looking at your phone on the app driving to Vegas.
That's fine. So two other games hit driving up to Vegas.
Meaning
you
picked them and they won?
Right. So I have on one ticket, I have one game left, and it's the Nevada-Texas game. And I'm driving to Vegas, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is cool. So I have this little app, so I start streaming it, plug it into my Bluetooth, and I start listening to the game. It's a real exciting game,
sure.
And I stand
They're
to win.
They're all really exciting.
Yeah. Okay. And, well, it's more money. It's my money,
right,
you know what I mean?
That makes everything
so
better.
So I stand to win about $200 on a $10 bet.
I'm sorry, what are we talking about again?
March Madness!
It's Omarch Madness!
So I'm Bluetoothing it, and I have to go pee so bad at this point. And it goes into overtime. I'm pulling up to the casino, and I have to, my bladder's gonna explode, but it's in overtime, and I'm like, what is happening? I'm not a sports guy, and I'm rooting so hard. And then they win! So my first ticket, before I even get to see my friends, I'm a winner.
How much?
And they're $200. It's Omar's Madness, baby.
It's Omar's Madness.
Okay. So then I look at my other tickets, and I'm like, oh, okay, this one didn't do well. And I have, and I just did the 7-game parlay, and I guess people really don't do that because it's really hard.
Well, because you have to get all 7 right to win that money.
You know what?
The odds are much higher.
When it's Omar's Madness...
Okay.
It's Omar's Madness.
It's super easy.
I mean, a lot of people will pair 2 games, maybe 3 games, but 7 games is absurd to think you're going to get all 7 of them right.
At this point, it's about 3 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm pretty hungry. I'm going to go grab a bite. I'm not watching any games. So I come back around 5 p.m. Then I check my tickets. I'm like, oh, this one's still alive. And I look, and I stand to make $800 on a $15 ticket.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the 7-game parlay.
So then everybody's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, I picked all these teams. I'm doing pretty good, right?
Okay, let me just stop you right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't tell them before you were set up for that final game to win? You didn't tell them?
No, I had no idea.
Okay. You didn't even know which teams
I didn't even
you
know. Absolutely not. I had no idea. Said, hey. So then I'm like looking for the game because there's like a bunch of screens where we are. I'm like, oh, there it is. Yo, I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, my God.
And at this point, they're all out. All their tickets are done.
And so they've won nothing.
They won nothing. They're very unhappy people.
And you've already won $200 and you're about to win $800.
Well, it's Omar's Madness, baby.
It's Omar's Madness.
And guess what? The ticket hits.
Oh, come on.
You know what? Because it's Omar's Madness.
It's Omar's Madness.
Now, what do you like after you win? Do you walk by dad and did you say brother and other people? Do you walk by and go, yeah, I'm a winner. And you get the cash and just throw it around, make it rain?
Yeah, I took them all out to dinner. I took them all out to dinner. I had to rub it in. I was like, man, you guys don't know what you're doing. Let me see your notes. I ripped them up.
Oh, my God. The worst.
Yeah, totally.
It's Omar's Madness.
This is what happens when you try to really pay attention. If you're a sports fan at all, you don't even care about college basketball. But when it gets to March Madness time, there's such great games. It's so much tense.
Yeah.
And you try to gamble on games. And you do the best you can to research. And then some a-hole comes along and picks the colors of their uniforms. Or they like the team. Name and nonsense like that, and they end up winning.
So exciting! There was this huge like banquet hall we were at with a bunch of tables, TVs everywhere,
right.
And it was the game where money was on the line, right? And I don't do this at all. So it was like the game was so tight. We're like high-fiving strangers and stuff. I was like, yes! I think I almost like killed this old dude because I high-fived him too hard. Yeah, it was crazy. Out of control. Omar's Madness, baby.
It's Omar's Madness.
So are you done? Are you out? Are you finished?
You know what?
Because there's some more March Madness coming up.
I think I have to go to Gamblers Anonymous. I think I'm addicted.
It's Kevin and Bean.
KU Rock. KROQ.
Talk about April Foolishness opening act contest. Dave, tell people how they can register for this.
You go to krock.com and sign up and give us a YouTube link of your comedy. Hopefully it's about 5 minutes because that's about as much as I can take.
I mean, tops 5 minutes.
Tops 5 minutes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When it's 45 minutes, I'm not going to sit in it.
But if that's all they have, you can send it. Just know we don't have time to go through 45 minutes of it.
Yeah. So just do that, and, on Monday morning, we have top 10. You know, you have until Friday morning to enter.
Friday at 10 a.m.?
Yep.
Okay. Here are some of the contestants. Not everybody has a clip from them at a comedy bar.
Mm-hmm.
This girl's at it just seems like a bar. Her name is Christine Marie, and she doesn't get great response.
I don't refer to myself as white or as Mexican. I refer to myself as a Mexican. And then, on days when I'm feeling a little bit more negative, I'm a Mexican.
Yeah.
Woo! That's what she got. Yeah.
She's trying.
She is trying, yeah. Here's a guy, Sean Leary, at a comedy club, and he's trying to explain why the poor kids will always live in a scary movie or when scary things happen, and the rich kids will always die.
Any horror movie, poor kids live, rich kids die. Because the rich kids always think that scary sound is some of the nice crap in their house. Right? Like, what was that? Oh, that was just the chocolate fountain. Yeah, but wait, what was that? Oh, that's just the Tesla charging. Okay, but what was that? Oh, that was just my room full of gold coins. A duck just dove in there. But the poor kids, they know what the two things in their house sound like, right? What was that? Well, it wasn't the fridge or the toaster. Let's get the hell out of here.
All right, so that's one of the people that sent in an audition. Here's Raymond Montoya at the Irvine Improv talking about religious messages that his parents leave around the house.
My mom would just subliminally place religious messages all throughout the house for us to see all the time. This guy's like, yeah, that's what I do too. Yeah, that's what parents do apparently. Like, my shower curtain is all white, but in the top corner there's a little Jesus. Like, that's right, you better wash your sins away. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. We have themed parties at my house, like Halloween, Christmas parties. We have Mardi Gras party. My mom's throwing out beads left and right. Yeah, I thought they were Mardi Gras beads. Rosary beads. Rosary, yeah. Yeah. Show me your God bless you. God bless all of you. Jesus Christ.
Here's a guy named Julio Gonzalez talking about women's shoes and how incredibly painful they must be.
Torture yourselves with them shoes. Don't tell me, fellas, you ever seen your ladies come home after wearing those torture traps all day? And when they take them off, it looks like they're having an orgasm. Just, oh, my God, yes. Torture yourselves with them shoes. And for what? To impress who, guys? We don't give a f-. I never had a friend go, hey, bro, did you bro, she was wearing flats.
He ain't lying.
He ain't lying.
And we're not wearing them for you.
Yeah. Mikey McCarron did this set at Flappers, and he sent this in.
I'm getting sued.
Nice.
Now, that's my favorite part of this whole
thing. Wait, what?
What is it? Nice?
I'm getting sued. Some of the audience goes, nice. Immediately. Odd.
I'm getting sued.
Nice.
I tried to sell tiny pennies. Call them bitcoins.
Okay, now, here's what you need to know. That response of his, that's kind of his catchphrase.
Okay.
So he does it after every joke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Call them bitcoins. I ran into a friend the other day, three times in one day. He was like, wow, Mikey, I see you everywhere. How are you at it all? Well, Adderall.
Why does he make that noise?
I think you need to incorporate that, Kevin.
No.
Yeah, so after every moment with, you're like, and everyone will be like, I get it.
How does a guy make that decision? How does he go, that's my thing?
Every joke?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
I saw this video.
Yes.
Huh. Every joke.
Every joke.
It's a choice. Yeah.
It's a choice. Absolutely. Here's Mike Falzone doing a set at Flappers.
I say, you don't need to tell me what I look like. I know what I look like. You know how I know? Homeless people ask me for weed all the time. Do you gotta look like a real specific type of person for homeless people to ask you for weed all the time? Homeless people talk to me, just enter into casual conversation with me whenever they see me. I think that they think I'm next. I think that's what's happening.
All right, and one last contestant for today, and this is Ryan D. at the Ice House, and he's talking about wearing a shirt that says, I love America on it.
What? What's up? She's like, you can't wear that shirt. And I was like, why not? She's like, it says, I love America across the chest, and we're going to this Mexican cultural festival. And I was like, dude, Mexicans f-ing love America. Like, what? I was like, last time I checked, they're dying to be here, all right? So she goes, take it off, you're going to offend somebody. And that just, I mean, light bulb goes off in my head. So I go, you know, man, if they don't like it, they get the f*** out of this country. Yeah. It's like, build that damn wall. F*** in our apartment, like, we didn't talk for f***ing weeks. And knock on the door, like, hey, can you pass me some Tapatio? She's like, f*** you, this is Mexico, son.
All right, so if you want to be the opening act for Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, who we're going to have on later today, and DJ Mike Realm, feel free to go there. Friday at 10 a.m. is when it stops. You go to krock.com, you give us a link of you doing some comedy. Make sure you can...
And
don't make that noise.
Enter.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Right now, it's time to talk March Madness. Mr. Bell, good morning.
How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you. How are you?
Well, you know, it's the mat. It's kind of like the aftermath, right? Is, you know how it goes. You're all excited about an event. It happens. Then you sleep. Then it happens again.
Right.
Then you sleep. It happens again. And then Sunday comes. Then there's like 2 or 3 days where you're really feeling it. So it's the aftermath.
All right. I was on vacation during the UMBC victory over Virginia, which I believe knocked everyone out of their pool.
You know what's amazing is we talked about it last week, is I've participated in the Kevin and Bean bracket challenge for 3 straight years.
Right.
I was 0-3, never won, never. I don't even think I got second, right?
Nope.
And I was all ready to go this year. Somehow, not to make any stories, you know, not to worry, but somehow I wasn't able to enter.
Oh.
And amazingly.
Don't you tell us that you're
amazingly,
on top.
Amazingly,
of-
I would have had UMBC. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. No. Because
see,
I don't think.
Smart.
I don't think anyone who knows what they're talking about would have ever picked that school.
Well, listen, let's quantify how unlikely that upset was.
Okay.
Because it really was the lead of every sports show, every sports page, is 16 seed over a 1. Prior to that, entering the game, it was 0 for 135. 135 times a 16 seed had played a 1. 135 times the 1 had won against the 16.
Did okay. anyone beat them? I mean, did anyone pick them?
Well, this is what's amazing, right? So, yes, some people did. Right? You're always going to have the contrarians. But this was the amazing part. There was one guy in Vegas, when it was 0 for 135, said, give me $800 on UMBC, which is a community school in Baltimore. Now, some people thought it was the school Stringer Bell actually went to on the wire. It's not exactly, but it was that level of, like, community college-type school.
That's insane.
Against the number one team in the country,
and he
Virginia.
Bet $800?
He said, 0-135, give me $800. It's going to happen the 136th time. It did. Now, he only got, and I'll say only in quotes, 20-1 on it. So his 800 paid over $16,000, and I actually tweeted out that ticket.
Wow.
Holy crap. That's a guy who doesn't know anything about basketball, though, right?
Apparently, he was associated with the school, you know, so he was betting with his heart.
One of those picks, yeah.
Now, what's amazing is, and it shows you how much parity, how much more competitive basketball is back in 2012, a number 2 seed lost to a 15 seed, and the spread was actually bigger. In this case, the spread was 21, and the spread in this game was 21.5. Missouri lost to Norfolk State. So one of the biggest upsets, though, of all time. First time a number 1 seed lost in the first round.
I mean, that's really the beautiful thing about March Madness is that any team can beat any team once.
Yeah, I agree. It is one and done, right? If it was a 7-game series like the NBA,
right,
it'd be very different. But
Virginia would still be in it easily.
I think for sure, yeah. Right? No doubt. Now, here's the thing, though, is those Cinderellas, as they like to say, they get invited to the dance, but they've got a curfew.
Not, okay.
Trademark pending. And here's the thing about that. And as we move into the Elite Eight, now, so Thursday and Friday are going to be the Sweet 16 rounds. And here's some amazing history. Entering this year, if you look at 272 teams in the Elite Eight, so that's been the modern era since 1985, there's only been one with a seed worse than number 11. So the seeds are 1 through 16, but 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, only once. All of those seeds combined have ever made the Elite Eight. And, oh, by the way, it's going to happen again this year because there's not even one team above an 11 seed in the Sweet 16. Every team that made the Sweet 16 is an 11 seed or better. So, yeah, Cinderella can win one of these games, but it's really hard for Cinderella to keep winning. And when it comes to the title, 28 of the last 29 years, the champion's been a 4 seed or better. So, yeah, they can win one game, but the blue bloods, the pedigree teams, end up winning at the end.
Now, are you giving us any specific picks for the Sweet 16?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what do you got for us?
We can look at some games. So there's 8 games, 4 on Thursday, 4 on Friday. And I'm going to give you, let's go with Kansas. Kansas right now is the number 1 seed. They're playing Clemson, and the line is about 4.5, and Kansas has some advantage. We call it hidden home court, where the game is actually in Omaha, not that far from Lawrence, Kansas, and Kansas travels better than any team. Those fans are fanatical. Actually, some people may know Kansas is where basketball was invented way back when. So I think Kansas laying 4.5 is one of the better bets.
All right, so that's Kansas over Clemson. What else you got?
Yeah, and you know, if you want, we can go over the favorites in the tournament right now.
Sure.
So if you actually look at the favorites, the two big favorites, Villanova and Duke, they're in the 4-1 range. And then you've got three teams at 8-1, Kansas, Kentucky. Now, remember, Kentucky came in not very pedigreed. Now, historically, they are. But
yeah,
not
kidding.
But not this year. But every seed better than them in their bracket has actually already been beat. So Kentucky now is the favorite in their quarter of the bracket. And then Gonzaga, a team a lot of fans on the West Coast are fans of, 8-1. And then the last big favorite is Michigan at 10-1. And here's one thing. You know, we've talked about this before. I hate bookies. I'm an amenable guy. I smile. I laugh. But I hate bookies. Why? Because they hate bettors. They act like they don't, but they just want to take all the money. They don't want some of the money.
Right.
Those bookies want all the money. This goes to show you how good the bookies have it. There's 350-plus NCAA Division I basketball teams, which means any of those could, in theory, win the tournament any given year. Entering the tournament, there were only two teams that bookies would have lost money with, and the other 348 teams, if they had won the tournament, the bookies would have won.
Wow. So they cleaned up.
Arizona, which has already lost.
Which I picked as the winner. Yep.
And the other one is Michigan, who's still left. So amongst the 16 teams, there's 15 teams that are going to win bookies money in the futures pool if they end up winning, and only Michigan will win for the better. So if you're like me and you don't have a horse in the fight, you're not betting it necessarily, but you hate bookies like me, root for Michigan. That's the one team that will beat the bookies.
All right. You have two other just random picks that people might be able to make on the Sweet 16?
Yeah. You know, Nevada's a team, you know, right on the border up in Reno. And this is amazing. They were down double digits in the first game and came back and won against Cincinnati. They were down by 20 points in the second game, came back and won. And now they're actually favored over Loyola of Chicago. So this is not a big name matchup, but it is fascinating that Nevada came back from two straight big deficits. I actually think they're tired from that. So I'm going to go with Loyola. And there's actually a nun from that school that's been making picks and getting a bunch of publicity. So that's interesting. But I do like Loyola getting about 1.5.
Well, it's a crazy time of year. It seems like a sucker's bet. March Madness seems like a sucker's bet. But I always try it.
Well, have you ever won the Kevin and Bean Bracket Challenge?
Of course not.
But you keep doing it.
Of course.
See? So we appreciate that. Vegas appreciates that.
Because I'm dumb. All right. We appreciate it. RJ Bell, you can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. The website is pregame.com. That is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. And the new podcast is RJ Bell's Dream Preview, available on iTunes. We appreciate it, RJ. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock, K-Rock.
Oh my God, it's raining!
It's Stormwatch. Watch. 2018 team.
This is Frankie McDowell, my own team stage live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Heavy rain is headed towards Southern California on Thursday, March 22nd, 2018. It's going to bring up to 30 plus millimeters rain, especially in Los Angeles, California, Anaheim, California, Burbank, California, Orange County, and Corona, California, in Hollywood. It's going to bring a lot of rain that can cause sewers to back up the streets in Los Angeles and Long Beach, California. It's going to bring some windy conditions in Southern California. It's going to bring lots of flood and rain, including Los Angeles, Orange County, Burbank, Anaheim, and Corona, California.
All right, now you're just naming places. He's repeating. He's repeating the places that he's naming. on.
Around here is a squirrel that's going to bring a lot of rain in Southern California, especially Los Angeles, California.
It's Stormwatch. Watch, watch, watch. 2018.
We go now to our correspondent in the field, Beer Mug. Hey, Mugs.
Yes, good morning, Kevin and Bean. This is Beer Mug in the McGoppler 106.7 weather van.
I'm sorry, the what?
The McGoppler 106.7 weather van.
Which is the Kevin and Bean janky van?
That is the Kevin and Bean janky van. Mm. And we, in fact, are tracking the storm live as it comes in right now. We are at the Best Buy at 21601 Victory Boulevard in Canoga Park. And let me tell you, it is pandemonium out here. Mass hysteria. Oh. Dog and cats sleeping together.
All right, hold on. Okay, hang on just one second. Is it raining there?
It's barely sprinkling.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, but you're going to stay there all day. You've got some T-shirts, some stickers to give out if people want to stop by.
Yes. Wait, hold on. Oh, wait, I feel a storm coming in. Hold on. Oh, let me check my left nipple. Okay. Yep, it's hard. The storm is coming.
Oh, man. All
right. Storm Watch. Watch, watch, watch. 2018.
And, Muggs, you combined Mega and Doppler to get...
Actually, I'm sorry to cut you off, Allie. No, I was working hard in my weather van trying to come up with a name, and I combined Beer Mug and Doppler. Mugoppler.
McGoppler. Okay.
And is that a final decision?
Hey, Kevin, we can go back to Ploppler if you want.
No question the magic.
Nope. You stay there. We need a man on the streets. You stay there. You need to stay out in the rain as well, the TV stations make them do.
And have your nipple out.
Right. And make sure and call us back if anything changes with the nipple.
Roger that. Okay.
Nipple Watch 2018.
It's Storm Watch. Watch, watch, watch. 2018.
All right. We'll check back in with Bugs in a few minutes. yesterday, I told you guys a story about being in Ireland for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And, Mark Hamill was supposedly going to be the Grand Marshal. And the car just drove by. There was no Mark Hamill. He was pretty much, because it was so cold and snowy, he pretty much bailed at the beginning of the parade. And then I walked in, and Dave told me his big celebrity sighting.
Oh.
And, it wasn't quite as big as Mark Hamill, but it was very close.
It was big to me, man.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm at Target in Westwood, and I'm getting candy for Chris's birthday party.
It's his girlfriend.
And I walk in, and who do I see? I bump right into Mike from Shaw's of Sunset.
Who's that?
Yes!
From Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
Shaw's of Sunset.
Yeah, Mike Shahed from Shaw's of Sunset.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's the guy who has a shoe line in Kitson that then it went under right away.
Right.
This is the guy who has the designer socks.
Like, that's Kardashian. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was very excited about it. So I tell Krista, who also is a Shaw's of Sunset fan.
First of all, there's no Shaw's of Sunset.
What is this?
Shaw's of Sunset. It's a reality show about this group of friends who do nothing and just that's on their lives. But they're like realtors and stuff like that. Who knows what they actually
do. Okay,
so
your celebrity sighting is the opposite of mine. Pretty much everybody knows Mark Hamill.
Yes.
And yours, not only do people not know, when you tell them, including your girlfriend who likes the show, not impressed.
I didn't even care a bit.
Did he take a picture?
Me? No, of course not. I'm not going to do that.
Oh. Right? You don't want to bother that guy. But
I wouldn't do that too. Right. But I did say,
gummy bears, huh? Yeah, I like them too.
All right,
we're both grabbing gummy bears in the Target aisle.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but I was so excited. It was so cool. It was so cool to run into them out in the normalcy of Westwood.
Sure. Right. So that brings up the other topic, which is this is not necessarily a celebrity that everybody knows, but you were way excited about it, and nobody else cared. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. This person, you were very excited to meet them.
I was stoked.
You expected other people to be as stoked as you were.
Yes, this fellow fan.
And they were not.
No, she wasn't.
DJ Omar Khan, you got one?
Yeah, this was at a rave about 10 years ago. It was at How Sweet It Is. And it was around 5 a.m. And I see this DJ lugging his record box towards the stage just... and I was like, who's that? That's weird, because you would think like he would have people carrying his stuff playing a Sunrise set. And it was Max Graham. And at the time, Max Graham was probably top 10 DJs in the world.
Is that right?
He's he was huge at the time, yeah. And I'm with about five buddies of mine. I'm like, guys, it's Max Graham! Like, but everybody was like, huh? It's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, no, do you guys hear me what I'm saying? I'm saying Max Graham is right there, and he's about, 10 feet away, and he hears me. He hears me, and he's like, oh, God. And now, like, looking back, he's probably thinking, oh, God, you hope this guy doesn't come.
Of course.
And what do? I go up to him, like, hey, Max, can I take a picture? He's like, sorry, dude, I'm running late for my set. So I was like, yeah.
That's why you gotta just give him the nod, man. Don't you know about the nod?
But wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. So you're at an EDM event.
Yeah.
And
totally.
And the four people that you were with didn't care about this guy?
No. They were so high, they were like, whatever, dude.
You sold them too much?
Yeah, for sure.
Allie, you had one that was very exciting for you.
I have one, and it happened on television. The excitement I had, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was June 12th, 2012, and I remember that day because, A, it was my birthday, and, B, the Kings had just won the Stanley Cup the night before. So we were doing like fun little birthday type things. And in the middle of the segment, in runs this man. You guys.
Right?
You guys.
Now this guy I love.
It's Sexy Sax Man.
Right. He's not wearing a shirt.
Let me tell you, the anchor Megan Henderson set this up because she knew how much I love Sexy Sax Man. Megan was sick that morning.
Oh no.
So it's just these anchors filling in that were like, well, what's happening? Why is this greased up man playing Careless Whisper? This is weird. And I was like, you guys, it's Sexy Sax Man. I am losing my mind. And the anchors could not care less. So shout out to Megan Henderson that made my birthday perfect, but then wasn't there that day.
But then nobody cared.
Yeah, nobody
Zero
cared.
Zero people cared. None. Right, let's take one call before we take a break, and then we'll take some more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Chris in Anaheim. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi.
Hello, good morning.
You met a celebrity that no one cared about.
Well, Allie will care about this.
Okay, one person, go ahead.
Finn Cole. Yes.
You'll care when you realize who he is, Kevin.
Okay.
You may not recognize his name. I, of course, loved him from Peaky Blinders.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
Michael Gray.
Who else did I love him for? Animal Kingdom. Jay.
Oh.
Come on. Finn Cole. Right.
Is he the buff one?
No, he's the young one. He's the youngest one.
So he's not Scott Speedman.
He's the kid. No, he's the kid.
He's the lead in the show, pretty much.
So he's not the girl.
You don't watch
How
the show.
How dare you. Chris, I feel it. Finn Cole.
Thank you, Chris. 1-800-520-1067. You were more excited than your friends to meet somebody. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Right now we're talking about you met a celebrity and you were so excited and you told your friends and they were less excited. They didn't share necessarily your enthusiasm for who you met.
Yeah.
The first person we're going to talk to is Ryan in Long Beach. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. Who did you meet?
Okay, let me preface this by saying I became a Bachelor fan thanks to your great Bachelor report.
Okay.
With Ralph and Petra.
Uh-huh.
So for about 4 weeks ago, I'm in Vegas for a Bachelor party. We're at a club called Marquee that I don't want to be at because I'm not in the club. And our waitresses were Haley and Emily from The Bachelor. The twins.
Okay.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
So I'm all excited. Our friends are there. I'm like, you guys, you know who this is? You know who this is? Nobody had a single clue. Except for me running around the club with the twins, taking pictures and FaceTiming my wife and all that jazz.
I'm sorry. You FaceTime your wife with them?
Heck yeah, I did. Wouldn't you?
No.
I met Haley and Emily from The Bachelor. Those are like the two best.
Oh my God.
What was the response like from most of your friends?
For most of my friends, they thought they were hot, but they had no idea what I was talking about.
I got you.
And then my friends that I watched The Bachelor with, that I texted, they all kind of just ghosted me, didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as cool as I thought, but I still think it was pretty cool.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. That's exactly what we're looking for. He FaceTimed his wife.
Yeah.
It's an odd move, right? Let's go to Paul, who is calling us from Riverside. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, thanks. Paul has a type of celebrity sighting that I have all the time, that I have about three people in my life who care about and everyone else doesn't care at all. Tell us yours.
Yeah, I figured you would appreciate this story, Kevin. Yep. So I was walking in Caesar's Palace in the early 2000s with my family, and we were walking by all those big, you know, Versace stores, and out comes out Paolo Maldini from AC Milan with his wife, and I just about fell to the floor, and I'm looking at my dad's looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I had nothing to get his autograph. I just like looked at him weird, kind of said like this weird hi, and he walked away from me.
I love Paolo Nutini. He's one of my favorite singers.
No, that's not the exact same person, no.
Who?
No, different person.
Paolo Maldini. Yeah.
What does he sing?
I met Antoine Griezmann at a Galaxy game. And I was telling everybody, dude, I met Antoine Griezmann. This is great. Zero people cared.
Huh.
I text the two people in my life that care. Yes, Chip, you got your hand up. What?
Is it still soccer?
It is, unfortunately. All right. Thank you for the call.
Chip.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Let's go to Christina, who is called. Well, let's go to Sydney in Encino. Hi, Sydney.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Who did you meet?
I met Ashley I from The Bachelor at a Harry Styles concert at The Greek in August.
It seems like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette seem to be ones that some people care a tremendous amount about, and then other people don't care much at all.
Well, I seem to be the only person in the entire Greek theater who cared about Ashley I. And, like, it's perfect age of people, like, who watch The Bachelor, watch Bachelor in Paradise. Nobody knew who she was. My friends were like, who is she? And I was like, come on, people.
Come on, people.
But how good was Harry Styles?
Fantastic.
Right?
I would see him every day if I could.
Amen.
There you go. I don't think that's the point of the story, Allie.
Oh, no?
No,
sorry.
Not really at all. But that's all right. Okay. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to DJ in Riverside. Hi.
Hi, good morning, guys. Long time, first time.
Thank you.
Hey, so I was in downtown Las Vegas. We were walking out of the Four Queens, and I almost bumped shoulders with this guy, and I took another look, and I'm like, holy crap, that's the D's Nuts guy. So I was with...
Hold on, this guy?
Because someone came in the mail today. D's Nuts? Ha! Got him!
Yeah, him.
Oh, no.
So I took another look, and I'm like, wow, there he is. And I was with my mom and my girlfriend and another friend at the time, and I was like, look, it's him. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I was like, in the middle of downtown Las Vegas, I said, it's the D's Nuts. And I got some weird looks from a couple other people.
Sure, of course. Well,
so I went to go walk up to him. And on my way up, there was somebody else that had noticed him. And he was charging money to take pictures with him.
Charging money? The D's Nuts guy?
Yeah, he was charging $10. It was a chick too that walked up, and she was pretty good looking. So I figured, you know, at least her. But no, he was like $10, no pictures.
Wow,
$10 for D's Nuts.
I was charging $10 to take pictures. So I kind of took a sniper picture from about 30 feet back.
Sure, you can't get up there and pay that guy $10. You've got some self respect.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Wow, that's crazy. Let's go to Nina in Santa Monica. Hi, Nina.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
You met who?
I met Rutger Hauer.
Okay, how do I know that name?
He was the bad guy in the original Blade Runner.
Oh, okay, yes. And you met him,
yes.
And you were with who? Were you with family or friends?
So, no, I was actually working. I work at a restaurant in Marina, and I noticed him at takeout. And I was like, oh, my God, guys, that's Rutger Hauer. And everybody's like, who the heck is that? And I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, haven't you seen Blade Runner? And they said, yeah. But nobody actually knew who the heck he was.
No one.
So, yeah, nobody. Not a single person.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they all know the new Blade Runner, but I guess nobody's seen the original.
Well, I mean, it was, 30 years ago or something?
Yeah, but it's a classic. I don't know.
I'm excited for you. Unfortunately, none of your friends were, but thank you for the call. Let's go to Christina in Hawthorne. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning, you guys.
Morning.
So my celebrity, I met Kevin.
Kevin, me?
You. I met you.
Yeah, we're talking about celebrities here, though.
I know, but to me, okay, I'm a huge fan of Kevin and Bean Show. I've been listening since I was a tiny first grader. My big brother would drive me to school. listen to you guys. And I was at a Target in the Valley, and it was Christmas Eve day, like the daytime, and my mom always has a huge party. So we're at Target picking up stuff. I was there with my husband, and he's out doing something else, and I'm doing my thing. And I see him in the aisle, and I panic, and I text him. And I, like, creep on you for, like, 2 minutes, and then he finally finds me, and then I come up to you and completely nerd out. And I'm excited the whole time, but also want the moment to be over because I'm a hot mess. I'm, like, so excited to meet you.
And your husband was just as excited?
He was supportive and just, you know, waiting for the moment to pass by because we were late.
So he was happy you were happy, but he could have cared less.
Basically, and he took my picture with you, and it was very exciting for me. I was, like, beside myself.
Christina, you said this was Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve day?
It was daytime. We were just, like, slow. Right.
Here's my question. Christmas Eve... Kevin, just starting your Christmas shopping?
Pretty much. I had a lot of work to do.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Allie is here first with what's happening.
Hey, remember the beginning of the show? The excitement, the utter joy I had in sharing with you that Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to come back to the WWE. It's the biggest news. I went straight Brie mode. I was so stoked, and I was met with a face that basically said, is this English?
I mean, I'm happy you're happy. But I don't follow the WWE.
Okay.
So I don't know if he was a big deal or not.
Daniel Bryan. Huge, huge deal. Well, here's the thing. We have Matt Fowler from IGN. He's going to be with us a little after the 9 o'clock hour to break this down.
Okay,
what
good.
It means to have Daniel Bryan back in the WWE. What it's like that he is possibly coming back for WrestleMania 34. Some of the other matchups that already made it one of the best WrestleManias ever. But now with the return of Daniel, oh my God.
It's just going to be crazy.
Wow.
He is the founder of ISIS. Wow. He's the founder of ISIS.
He is not... at all.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
Pretty much. Could have. That's how awesome he is.
What's his catchphrase, please?
Yes! 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 And you have to throw your hands in the air.
And that's his catchphrase?
Listen.
I'm just asking. That's his catchphrase. Yes or no?
It's what he's known for.
Okay.
He gets everybody, I'm not just going to say wrestling fans, he gets the world pumped up.
I see, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you understand how huge this is.
I 100% don't understand how huge this is. That's why we're going to talk to Matt Fowler, so you have somebody that you can really go crazy over.
I can't wait. All right. A little more along your speed.
Yes.
Deadpool 2.
Yes.
So word that they went back for 6 days of reshoots last month. And people were like, oh, no, what does this mean? But, you know, you test a movie. They see what works, what doesn't. Well, they just did another test of Deadpool 2. And it scored a 98 in the screening. And this, according to The Hollywood Reporter, people said that the feeling in the theater was electric, like watching the Super Bowl. That's not bad.
No, that's pretty good.
And it's worth noting the highest test screening for the original Deadpool was a 91.
No kidding.
Deadpool 2, 98. So if these people are to be believed, Deadpool 2 is going to kick Deadpool's ass.
And that comes out Friday?
That comes out on May 18th.
What?
May 18th?
May 18th.
Yeah, sorry.
So
but, I
now.
Mean, it's still something to get super stoked about.
Already
especially
stoked.
Because
wait.
People were like, oh, no, reshoots. They got a little bit nervous, mm-hmm. but a 98 in a screening, that's insane.
I've probably watched the original Deadpool 6 times, 7 times.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Because that was so great. I can't wait for this one.
It's going to be real good.
Yeah. It's one of those movies, if it comes on, it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of it or whatever.
Same.
I'm there
Dirty
and I watch
Dancing.
The end of it.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry?
I heard Dirty Dancing.
Oh, I thought we were talking about movies, just it comes on, you watch.
I was saying that's true of Deadpool.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you threw in Dirty Dancing under your breath just to try and sneak it in, I feel like. Okay.
Nobody puts Sally in the corner. Some birthdays for you. Actor Scott Eastwood, Gary Oldman, Matthew Broderick, Rhys Darby, TV show host Rosie O'Donnell. Are you okay? What's happening?
Just exhaling.
Oh, are you? That's a great movie, too. Waiting to Exhale. Okay. I enjoy that as well.
All right.
Baby Houseman, right? Like the best.
Sure.
The lift at the end with Johnny Castle. Oh, the kickball change. Gyrate, gyrate as he's coming down. A little snapping.
Time of my life. We're still on the air. Do you know that?
That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Right now, we welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show our friend Ashley Esqueda, senior editor from CNET. Hi, Ashley.
The Aristocrats. Did I win?
Give the tickets.
How have you been?
I have been good. How have you all been?
We've been good. This big Facebook story where 50 million people's information was stolen. I got to be honest. Every article on this is, I don't know, 20, 25 pages, and I just can't stick through
it. Confusing AF. AF.
Right. I just can't stick through it all. I can't care. So I want you to break it down. This is Facebook data breach for dummies.
Yeah. Okay. Let me stretch. All right. So there was a lecturer at the University of Cambridge who created a quiz, and he wanted to collect that information for research purposes, and that's what he said the quiz would be for. Mm-hmm. And so a couple hundred thousand people took this quiz. It's an app on Facebook, and you've seen these things before. So if you use Facebook, it'll say like, BuzzFeed wants to access your profile information for you to do XYZ or whatever.
Right.
You sign into something.
Right.
So it was like that. It's an app like that. And he took that information, that data, and these people who took the quiz not only allowed this app to access their data, their profile information, but also the profile information of their friends.
Did they know that?
Maybe. I mean, people don't really read those things. So it's like they may have known they were giving permission for it and thought it was simple profile information. But simple profile information can actually reveal a lot about you. So that professor then gave all of that data. So the couple hundred thousand people who agreed to the terms of this quiz, mm-hmm. and giving their profile information, and then the, 49.8 million other people who were caught in the net of their friends, like those people's friends.
So it's possible that my information was given to somebody in England because of a friend who accepted that.
Who took a personality quiz.
Wow. Yes.
And so he gave that information to Cambridge Analytica, which is a research company that is used, they basically took that information and weaponized it in a form of psychological warfare and used it to create things like ads that appealed to those profiles' basest fears, hopes, beliefs, and reinforce them. And that is why everybody is so upset. And Facebook is like, we're outraged and we're the victims here. And it's like, but are you though? Because they're so outraged they waited over 2 years to do anything about it.
Well, I assume they hope it'll just go away quietly and no one will follow up on it.
That is pretty much Facebook's MO.
Yeah.
They something bad happens with Facebook. They kind of go into hiding. No one's seen Mark Zuckerberg. Who knows where he is right now? He's supposedly talking to the staff of the company on Friday. They kind of go into hiding. They hope things kind of blow over, and then it's just status quo again.
All right. Why is this different? Why did they have to come out this time and say 50 million people's information was lost?
Well, they lost about close to $50 billion in market value.
Wow.
Their stock really, they're still doing fine. Don't worry. They're not. And Mark Zuckerberg's not going to starve to death this weekend. They, as a company, lost close to $50 billion in market value. And so, obviously the shareholders are like, hey, do something.
Right.
So that is, money is the thing that makes them do something. And so we'll see what happens, but it's, this is like the hardest thing because you can't really, it's, as you've said, it's very hard to explain why this matters, right? And so
we've talked about this before, your privacy, the fight for privacy, your information on the internet is
right.
probably one of the biggest issues of this century. Like, I think that is going to be one of the key fights.
Tell
for,
me if I'm
you know,
wrong.
Your
tell,
data.
Tell me, I'm sorry to interrupt. Tell me if I'm wrong no, on no. this. I just, at this point, honestly, I just assume whatever I put online is going to go public.
I think a lot of people assume that. But I also feel like that is sort of it's sort of a mentality that lends itself to people having access to stuff that they just shouldn't have. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's sort of that if you don't have anything to hide, like you shouldn't have any problems with transparency. But encryption can be a very good thing. And there are things you don't want to share with people. You know, your medical history is not anybody's, it's nobody's business.
Right.
And the thing is like, and it shouldn't be anybody's business. And I mean that in the sense of both, it's nobody else's information to have unless you share it with them. And it's also no one's literal business. It should not be people's literal business.
Now, in this case, the Donald Trump campaign got a hold of a lot of it, but I don't want to make this a political thing because when you make it political, everything goes to hell. But
it definitely isn't.
Any group taking this information, I mean, it could have been any group, right?
It could have been any group. And the thing is like your data and collectively our data is really valuable and we should treat it that way. And the thing is like nobody, it doesn't matter what political side of the spectrum you fall on, like no one deserves to have their beliefs weaponized against them to reinforce things that might not be true. Right. So regardless of what side, it can be used both ways. And so, you know, honestly, like this is part of the problem with, you know, this whole fake news cycle and people, you know, people screaming at each other about, well, this is your butt off and this is conspiracies and this is that and this is that. And it's like, that's because these companies only think about their bottom line. They don't care about you
okay,
as a
but
person. And they, all they want to do is make money. And they'll do that any way they can, up to and including, as we've now seen, literal psychological warfare.
So if friends of mine have signed up for something like that and I don't know about it and they've taken my information, how am I supposed to defend myself on that? How do you keep yourself safe?
It is very hard because, unfortunately, Facebook, there has been, like, people have been calling this a data breach, but really it's just sort of unauthorized sharing of that initial gathering of data.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to do. You can disable platform sharing on Facebook. You can look that up, like look up disable platform sharing Facebook on Google, and there'll be some sites that'll tell you how to do that. But it's really complicated, and Facebook does that on purpose because they want to make money off of you. They're there to, whenever the service is free, you are the product. And like that is always the number one thing to remember, is that whenever you use a service that's free, your data, your information, your demographics, your everything is the product that's being sold.
Okay, you're saying this all started with a personality quiz. I constantly take the Star Wars quiz, which Star Wars character are you? Because I keep getting damn Poe Dameron, and I love him, but I want to be Leia, so I keep switching up my answers. What do they know about me,
Ashley?
It knows
that. See, you're a rogue.
Oh,
like,
oh,
this person keeps switching up their answers, just like a Poe would. You see?
Oh,
you know what?
You have to be sneaky.
Totally right, Ashley.
And then
totally
they got my information because you wanted to take your stupid Star Wars
Trust
action.
Me, I'm not on Facebook, Kevin. Like a normal adult, I am not on that horrible site.
So, Ashley, all I'm hearing from you is it's almost too complicated to keep your information safe.
I wouldn't say it's too complicated, but I think that I read a really interesting Twitter thread. I will try to be brief on it. This guy who works in computer science was talking about how he came from the physics field, and computer science as an industry has never had a moral reckoning. So in physics, they had to grapple with the ethical consequences of the bomb. Right.
Right.
And so he's like, we've never had to do that. And so at some point, instead of it always being this, you know, Silicon Valley always being this like ridiculous optimistic utopia where all they really believe they're doing is coding to make your life better, they have to really, coders have to think about, and these CEOs also, especially them, have to think about how their work can be weaponized, how the worst possible use cases, and guard against those things. And if they don't do it, I guarantee you that at some point, people are going to get mad enough to where they're going to start demanding that the laws be changed, that there be regulation, and so which those companies don't like. So either they can clean it up, or we're going to have to clean it up for them, and they're not going to like that. So hopefully they can get their act together and you know, start actually protecting their own customers' privacy. Like, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be nice, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Ashley. We appreciate your time. Ashley Escada, you can follow her on Twitter at that name, or ashleyescada.com and cnet.com as well. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
The sold-out April Foolishness is happening March 31st at Microsoft Theater. Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garlin, and Sarah Tiana, who joins us in studio.
Yay!
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm good.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. I'm very excited about all of this.
As are we. You spend a lot of time writing for other people.
Yes.
You spend a lot of time battling, rap battling.
Yeah, roast battling.
Roast battling.
Yeah.
You seem so incredibly nice. Even during the battles, you seem like you're kind.
Yeah, that's why I can get away with horrifying things.
If you say it with a smile, you could say horrifying things?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I can get away with way more.
What, is all of that pre-written?
The roast battle? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sort of. I mean, you have like a couple hours in the roast battle format that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And basically you have like 10, 15 jokes in your head and you're going to get four. So you're kind of depending on what they say. You know what you want to start with. But if they go first, which you never know who's going to go first, you might just need to have rebuttals stored up that can lead into other jokes. So sometimes you don't know what jokes you're going to say, but you have like an array of them that you can use at some point.
What if you're standing there and you've got like 12 in the chamber, but the other person just doesn't lead you into any of them?
Oh, then I just do the ones that I think are the best. Yeah, and then I just obliterate them and embarrass them.
Look, she ruins people.
Yeah.
In a way that is so beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's why I miss Ralphie Mae, because we would battle all the time.
Yeah.
And I would just destroy him all the time, you know? I remember it was like right after the Ray Rice thing, the first time that we battled, and I compared him to Ray Rice, and I was like, not because you're an athlete, but no one wants to be in an elevator with you either.
Oh.
And, I mean, he's dying laughing, you know? He's one of my best friends. We had the same birthday. We were very close, so we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've written some terrifyingly awful jokes. Not really.
What's the worst joke you've ever written?
The worst joke that's like the meanest?
Yeah.
It was probably the day that Al Davis died, the owner of the Raiders. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not sure how he died, but I'm just assuming he choked. I think
that's pretty good.
It was like Jerry Buss died like a month before, you know, and I was like, oh, finally a Laker who can pass. And I thought that was pretty good, actually. But, yeah.
Do you hear from people who take it seriously all the time? It seems like social media is one of those things where do you hear from Lakers fans? Do you hear from Raiders fans? I mean, or do they pretty much know it's a joke? And by the way, a pretty good one.
Yeah, no, nobody... I would say 50% of American can take a joke. That's what I've realized over the last 4 years. Mm. Yeah, I just got in all this trouble over on NASCAR because I made fun of the Mexican driver that's there, Daniel Suarez, who's amazing. You know, he's such a good driver. And they brought me in to kind of like roast the drivers.
Okay, so I just want to stop you right there. They say to you, Sarah Tiana, come here.
Yeah.
And you roast the drivers.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
and how'd that go?
I've gotten quite a few hateful articles written in the news. But, yeah, I said he's the least likely to hit a wall or get close to any wall now that Trump is president. And I thought that was pretty clever.
That is clever.
And
But now you're mixing in politics, too, so now you've got a whole other group.
It's NASCAR.
I understand that, too.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah, so I was just, yeah. But so then I was like, oh, you know. I'm just happy he has car insurance. And that's when I think I went over the line. But there are so many other jokes that I had that I did not say.
A lot of worse ones?
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of just on the spot, just calling through your jokes and going, not this one, not that one, but this one.
Well, this particular incident, like, they had chosen the jokes that they wanted me to say. Oh,
you had to give them to them ahead of time?
Yeah, the drivers weren't there.
Okay.
Yeah, so which makes it a little unfair. Sure. Only Bubba Wallace was there, the new black driver from Alabama. So he was dying, you know, like Hila. They're all his friends. So, yes, but I had given them to the show before because it was a superlative situation, you know.
Have you felt that maybe, because you know so much about sports, mm-hmm. have you found that maybe sports teams fans get to be the most sensitive about things?
I think white people are the most sensitive, to be honest.
Really?
Yes, I feel like white people
are the worst?
Yes, because white people love to get offended because feel like it's an opinion. And they feel like if they're offended, it shows that they're not racist, right?
Oh, and I see. Just like that's a way of defending themselves to be offended.
Right, which to me makes them look even more racist because I'm like, what? If you're making it an issue, like basically I'm playing on a stereotype. And to me, stereotypes are funny because they're not facts.
Right.
But what you did is say it was a fact. You know,
that's why you're offended.
That's why you're offended. And why do you think that's a fact? Like, you're a terrible person. And why do you feel as a white person, you have to go to bat for the, you know, Mexican race? Like, they're very strong people, you know, and they're fine. Like, you don't need to fight their battles.
When you offend real people, they'll let you know, and they let you know in a way that you sort of feel like, oh, you're a human being and I did go too far.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
It's somebody else on their behalf, it's always a waste of time.
Yeah, to me, that's just like this one step removed thing. And so it was really unfortunate, but I mean, I don't apologize for writing the jokes. I apologize if people were really upset, but I don't think they really were.
But you'd like to talk to the people who are really upset.
Yeah, I prefer to talk to those people who are really
upset.
Because
it's usually somebody else on their behalf.
And also, the joke is usually not what they're upset about. They're upset about something else, and the joke is just like their platform for getting out whatever they're mad about.
We had, who do we have on Foolishness that made the AIDS joke? Oh, Jim Jefferies.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Jefferies was on Foolishness a couple of years ago. And his joke was, I'm AIDS away from looking good or being in shape or something.
Yeah.
And I thought that was hysterical because we're in a comedy show where they're making jokes that are clearly not real.
Yes.
And a woman saw me laughing and stormed out and hit me on the shoulder and said, don't laugh at that. And she walked out. And I was like, this is a comedy show.
Well, guess what? People with AIDS deserve to laugh, too.
It's crazy.
And honestly, who doesn't want to be thin, right?
I mean.
Hello.
Hello.
We need
to take a break. Sarah Tiana is here in the studio. We're very excited that you're doing Foolishness as well.
I'm so excited.
Very excited about that. And if people want to win tickets, it is sold out. But if you'd like to win tickets, we're going to have you call in the next break and tell jokes. Now, people can't tell jokes. That's one thing that we've learned. They're just, it's terrible. So we're putting a 5-second timer on it. A 5-second timer. What's that, Allie?
Nothing.
Okay.
5 seconds is a long time.
And it's 5-second timer for your joke. So you have to tell your joke in 5 seconds or less. If we can pick the best one, we will. If we can't pick a best one, we'll put everybody into a drawing and give away tickets. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Sarah Tiana is in the studio with us. Very excited to have her on this year's April Foolishness with Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garlin, and DJ Mike Realm with music and video. And you can also be the opening act. We have a contest for somebody to be the opening act for this. And what you have to do is you have to be 18 or over. You complete your submission at krock.com. You put up a link of you on YouTube doing some comedy, and then we'll pick a top 10 on Friday, and then somebody can, and then next week we'll have people vote, and somebody will open the show for everybody else.
Wow, that's a big honor. That's a big lineup.
And we've had some pretty good opening acts, too. I've been really happy with the people who win and how they do when they go out in front of the crowd. So
amazing.
It's a good time. All right, now, Sarah, you're going to judge our 5-second jokes.
Okay.
And the reason we do this is because people can't tell jokes. This is what we found out. So we're putting a 5-second limit on it. We're doing
5-second jokes.
5-second jokes. So 1-800-520-1067. If you can't pick a clear winner, we'll do a drawing and let somebody in that way.
Okay.
But it's sold out and nobody can win tickets buy tickets anymore. So let's start with Nick in Whittier. Hi, Nick.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We are good. One other thing. Since you only have 5 seconds, don't wait for a response from us. So if it's a knock-knock joke or whatever, don't wait for a response. Just move right on because you only have 5 seconds, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good. Ready? Go.
When does the joke become a dad joke? When it leaves and never comes home.
I don't hate it.
I mean, that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Good job.
He had time for the joke, and how's that?
Yeah.
That's pretty strong. All
right. That's good, Nick.
Let's go to Richard in Glendora. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We are doing well. You have 5 seconds. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Go.
Why can't you play Uno with a Mexican?
Why?
They steal all the green cards.
Not bad. This is a pretty good group.
I could have used that last
for
week.
The past 2 weeks, right?
We were just telling Sarah off the air a lot of these jokes are not going to be good. So far, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Andrew in Claremont. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. We're doing
5 second jokes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And go.
How can you tell diarrhea is hereditary? It runs in your genes.
I mean, am I just the
are
only
you
one
high?
Correct?
What's happening?
No, I...
You're a pretty easy audience.
I love jokes.
All right. Let's go to Anna in Los Angeles. Hi, Anna.
Hey, guys.
All right. We're giving away tickets for April Foolishness. You ready?
Ready.
And go.
Did you hear about the Pina and Harvey Weinstein? It was assaulted.
It was assaulted?
Oh.
Ooh, wow. Topical. Yeah. Love it.
I'm sorry. Can I hear that noise again? Okay, good. Let's go to Anthony in La Mirada. Hi, Anthony.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're doing
5 second jokes.
You ready?
Yes.
And go.
What do you call a fat psychic? A fortune teller.
I don't hate any of
these. I don't hate any.
Not a great joke, but great delivery, I think.
Yeah.
Well done. All right, you hold on. Boy, this is going to be difficult for you, Sarah. Let's go to Doug in Canyon Country. Hi, Doug.
Hoo-dee-hoo, party people.
All right. Are you ready for your 5 second joke?
Yes.
And go.
Where do you find a dog with no legs? Right where you left him.
Would you call him Scoot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's just all.
He's here to obey the command stay.
I'm not positive we need further explanation on that one. Okay.
You can't move.
Let's go to Ryan in Newport Beach. Hi, Ryan.
What it do?
All right. You got 5 seconds. You ready?
Yep.
And go.
What's another name for a corn dog? Undercover wiener. Bazinga.
He bazinged himself.
Did you bazinga? Undercover wiener.
I mean, not a great joke.
I don't understand it.
Because it's got corn dog batter on top of the wiener. Yeah.
If you have to explain it, though.
I mean,
I don't like undercover wieners. That sounds like another Harvey Weinstein joke.
Sure does.
All right, Raul in Palmdale. Hi.
Bubbles out, people.
All right, you ready for your 5 second joke?
I'm ready.
And go.
I told my wife I want her to be cremated, so she made an appointment for Friday.
I mean, I think we could have done 3 second jokes.
Oh my
as people
God. Yeah.
All right. What are we thinking? What are we thinking? Those are 8 and all pretty good.
Yeah. They were all great. I have a clear winner.
You do.
But it's not up to me.
Okay. Sarah, do you have a clear winner?
I don't have a clear winner because I really like the first one. Yes. When does a joke become a dad joke? When it leaves?
When it leaves and never comes back. That's my clear winner.
That's
right
pretty
there.
Good.
Wow.
All right, I also like the Harvey.
Too late.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Nick. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Love you guys.
You are coming to April Fool's. We'll see you a week from Saturday.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you for playing. We appreciate it. Before you go, Sarah, we do want to talk about the podcast that you do with Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I would love to talk about that
it's
for a second.
Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana.
Yeah. And I can't believe my name got squeezed in there at some point. Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really at the end.
I wanted the type to be so tiny, and I wanted it to be called, like, Riggle's Most Riggleous Riggle Picks of All Riggle Time. Because obviously I'm the star.
Of course. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sport?
My favorite sport is, baseball, I think, is my favorite. But I become more of a football has become more and more my favorite just because there's less games. So there's, like, more buildup. Mm-hmm. But then after the Falcons lost in the Super Bowl, Allie,
do not
look my way.
I am not.
I am the one
that reached out.
You did.
Not only after that, but then, I mean, the double whammy heartache for you.
Oh, with the Georgia game?
With the Georgia game. I'm like, can she not catch a break?
I can't catch a break, and neither can our receivers. But I think football now is like, you know, but baseball.
Because it's a much better sport than baseball.
Yeah.
That's what
But I think baseball.
I'm not a baseball fan.
I like
too
going
slow.
To baseball games by myself. I like keeping score. To me, it's like a very relaxing.
You keep
place.
Score.
Yeah.
You're
I
a
do.
Complete nerd.
I'm such a nerd. Wow. Yeah. And I'm actually so mad at Dodger Stadium that they don't sell the programs anymore.
Yeah.
Because they had a bigger score book. Because I usually have that as the souvenir from the game. I don't bring my own book.
Yeah, you do.
A little bit.
You're like, anybody got an extra pencil? Yeah. My pencil
no,
broke.
I always bring a pencil.
Okay. Come
wow,
on.
That's insane.
Allie. I gotta keep it in my fanny pack. I got it all figured out.
It's called Riggle's Picks with Rob Riggle and Sarah Tiana. It's available on iTunes and Podcast One, and you can follow Sarah Tiana on Twitter, and you should at Sarah Tiana. We're very excited you're on Foolishness, and thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having me on both.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's bring on to the show Matt Fowler, writer for IGN. Hi, Matt. How are you, sir? Hello, Matt. Are you there, Matt?
I am here.
All right, good.
Oh, I'm like, if you sabotage this, Kevin, I swear to God.
Matt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for taking our last-minute request.
It is my pleasure to come on with to talk about such wonderful news, to talk about such great news, in fact.
He did. He just great newsed us.
I was ready.
It's true.
But he wrote. But he put, as a matter of fact, too close to great news. So that all got the echo.
Oh, do you want to do it again, Matt?
Yes. I'm here to talk about some great news.
Excellent.
I am not as necessarily as excited as you and Allie are. So explain to me what I'm missing.
Well, this is kind of like your birthday and Christmas and 4th of July. And like International Pancake Day, all rolled into just wonderful ball of joy. It's Daniel Bryan at the height of his popularity, and he was the most popular wrestler in WWE at the time, was forced to retire due to complications from many concussions he'd suffered over the years. And this was his life. Wrestling was his life. It was all the more heartbreaking because we loved him. And he, you know, this is a guy who doesn't watch TV. He doesn't follow pop culture. He is a wrestling nerd, and he lives for wrestling and animals, pretty much. Like, that's what he loves, and his wife and daughter. And so to have it taken away from him was extra heartbreaking. And he still remained on WWE TV over these past 2 years in an on-camera role. He was sort of the quote-unquote boss of the Tuesday night show, SmackDown. And still, even while he wasn't wrestling, he was arguably the most popular guy in the company.
No kidding.
And so we've been waiting for, he's been actively trying to get back in the ring this whole time.
Now, everybody is aware that he's been struggling to get back in the ring and he just hasn't been cleared by medical doctors or any other kind of doctors.
Also, you could watch him and his exploits on Total Bellas. You know, like, he has a reality show, too, where we had to watch him be depressed, too. That was just an extra salt in the wound, just seeing him on another show, being really down about not being able to wrestle, but yet still being so close to it. And every year around WrestleMania season, over the past 2 years, we were like, is he going to come back for this show? And I think we'd kind of given up on it this year because we're just weeks away from WrestleMania 34, and I don't think any of us expected it to happen this close to the show. And then yesterday, you know, what a wonderful way to ring in spring. Just Daniel Bryan's been cleared to get back in the ring and wrestle.
It's huge.
I mean, I feel bad because Allie was so excited this morning. And I'm not into WWE, so I couldn't reflect that excitement back to her.
Yeah, I went full Brie mode. See, Kevin doesn't get with that.
I mean, don't.
Okay. Yeah, right.
She gave you the sort of the Luke Robitaille example, which is, you know, good because we're talking about an athlete.
Right.
But for you, I mean, who's your favorite band? Rage?
Yeah, you know, Rage Against the Machine or Foo Fighters, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, for Rage to say, we're coming back with a new album, or somebody you really love, or a TV character you really love returning to the show, And he's coming back, you know, nothing's been set, but he's going to be in a tag match probably for WrestleMania 34. And it's back in New Orleans where he had his greatest triumph a couple years ago.
Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista. It was the biggest night of my life.
Allie's
crying.
The
World Heavyweight title.
Allie's crying.
Now, 4 years, it is back in New Orleans at that same dome. Are you kidding me? It's like kismet.
And good luck whoever has to follow that, too, because he's still going to be the most popular guy in the company.
Now, might he become some type of champion in this fight?
Not in this fight, okay. But down the line, you know, everyone's already excited about the people he'll be able to wrestle now who've just come in over the past couple years. Some people have returned, like Kurt Angle, The Miz. Everyone wants to see him get his hands on AJ Styles. So we're already just excited about the... like who he could face next after this WrestleMania match, which will be awesome in its own right.
Yeah, the but WrestleMania match is, it's going to be huge anyway because it's the debut of Ronda Rousey.
You don't have to tell me. Keep going, Ronda Rousey, yeah.
It might be Cena and The Undertaker. That's a rumor.
Yeah, that'll happen. I mean, it'll be a late announcement, but it'll happen, I'm sure.
Here's my thing and why it's extra sweet for me. Because Roman Reigns, who you all know is my least favorite wrestler,
you hate Roman Reigns, probably of all time.
Right. He's finally been getting a little bit of love in the WWE. And now Daniel Bryan's back and everyone's like, oh, yes, you're back to sucking, Roman Reigns. Am I the only one that felt that?
No, because we can't forget that one of the seeds of the Roman Reigns resentment comes from Daniel Bryan and us liking him more,
but
WWE wanting us to really focus on Roman Reigns and putting all their eggs in his basket when we really wanted Daniel Bryan. So that's where it all comes from.
Exactly.
Now, Allie,
I don't know who any of those people are.
I'm sorry, Matt. You were saying before you were rudely interrupted?
Just imagine Daniel Bryan now facing Roman Reigns. Maybe they turn Roman Reigns evil. They put him with Vince McMahon.
Now there's a money feud in the South. Absolutely. For sure. And I got pregnant thinking about that. That is awesome. Who's with me?
I mean, I'm happy that you're both happy.
Okay.
Is that enough?
Yeah,
it's good. It's good to be happy for others' joy.
Right, and I'm happy that both of you are happy. And Matt, we're also going to be speaking to you the day after WrestleMania for a recap, if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's correct. Okay. Yes, I'll be in New Orleans for all the hoopla and the WrestleMania fallout.
Oh, it's going to be so exciting. You are a nerd.
I love it.
And Allie is calling you a nerd.
Can I go?
Do you need a plus one?
Probably. Matt, seriously, can I go?
Come on down.
Okay, cool.
He's just saying, come on down.
That was less than...
No, that was a throwaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll meet you there at the place.
Yeah, on the corner of New and
How
Orleans.
How dare you?
Matt, thank you for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
It is raining in Southern California. Of course, that means it's time for...
It's Storm Watch. Watch. 2018.
Our man Beer Mug is on the scene. Good morning, Mugs.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Yes, we're here live in Canoga Park, live for Storm Watch 2018.
It's Storm Watch. Watch. 2018.
That is correct. We are in the McGoppler 106.7 weather van. It is pure chaos out here. Rain is coming down out of the sky at rates that I've never seen it come down. I might have to go next door to the Roger Dunn Golf Shop, hijack a couple of golf umbrellas and 9-irons to make myself a makeshift life raft. It is that bad.
Is it really that bad right now?
No, it's not actually even raining.
Okay, not raining. All right. But it is supposed to rain later, correct?
It is, but it is nothing right now, and the people on the East Coast must really think we're pussies.
Well, you're doing good work, and thanks for the update.
It's Storm Watch. Watch. 2018.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Allie is here for one last look at what's happening.
In case you missed it, Lollapalooza has announced their schedule. It's taking place in Grant Park in Chicago, August the 2nd through the 5th. We've got headliners like The Weeknd, Bruno Mars, Jack White, Arctic Monkeys, The National, Vampire Weekend. And then you've got Logic, Portugal the Man, Churches, St. Vincent, Walk the Moon, James Bay,
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
No. Franz Ferdinand, Greta Van Fleet. Lady Gaga! Not Lady Gaga. All-time low. This is
That's a pretty good lineup.
Pretty kick-ass lineup, you guys. I'm all over it.
That's a good time, too.
Yeah. I'm really bummed that Bean's not here because LL Cool J as well.
Oh.
And you know how he loves him. The licking.
He does lick his lips way too much for Bean, that's true.
And not enough for me. So it just shows how different we are as a people. Not going to be there this year. Yeah. But tickets on sale now at Lala.com. And in case you missed it, I've got bad news for you guys. If you are a fan of A Bug's Life, A Bug's Land at Disney California Adventure. See, I mean, who even... Unless you have kids,
it's
a kid
thing, I assume, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Disneyland is squashing its bugs in favor of Marvel superheroes.
File.
That was from the OC Register. I'm quoting them.
Oh, sure.
But here's what's happening. It's been rumored for a very long time, but Disney has announced that the new Marvel Land, slated to open in 2020, which will be anchored by the revamped Guardians of the Galaxy ride, is replacing that cute bug-based attraction area that appealed mostly to the little ones.
Sure.
But here's what it says in the press release. The Guardians of the Galaxy will be joined by Spider-Man and the Avengers in what will become a completely immersive superhero universe.
All right, that sounds cool.
This expanded presence will begin recruiting guests in 2020, furthering the evolution of Disney California Adventure Park. I mean.
Agreed.
Marvel Land, Star Wars Land, it's like Disney knows what they're doing. I'm pretty excited. Pretty, pretty excited. Because you know me and Marvel movies.
You love them.
I love them.
What's your favorite, would you say?
Probably the Avengers.
First or second?
Third.
Third?
Yeah, I got a sneak peek.
Did you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how was it?
Good.
What's the name of that one? I forget.
Stony Comes Back. Because it's the guy, right?
That's made of stone. Out of the blue.
He's the guy made of stone, right?
How did you guess that out of the blue? That's amazing.
Is that not Chip saying no? Okay.
No, of course not.
Michael Chiklis, he's made of stone, and he's all pebbly.
He's in the Fantastic Four, but that is not in the Avengers.
Is that Marvel?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
You're close. You're not really.
Is there a guy, though, that looks like he's made of pebbles?
He's made of pebbles?
Like stone, rock. He's made of granite.
Not that I'm aware of.
In the Avengers.
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Let
it go.
Which is the one that we recently watched on air, and it had like all the people in it from all the movies.
Infinity War.
Who's the guy that looks like a big...
Thanos. But he's purple. He's not stone at all.
It can be purple stone, though.
Sure.
Doesn't he look rockish?
No.
Oh, crap.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
That's a great point. Looked kind of stony to me. congratulations to American Horror Story fans that have been looking forward to Kathy Bates making a return. Looks like she's going to make it back into the franchise for its 8th season. Co-creator and writer Ryan Murphy says that Kathy, who appeared in 4 of the American Horror Story series, took a break so she could be in her show Disjointed on Netflix. But Variety reports that since that series has been canceled, she's coming back to star in the upcoming series along with Sarah Paulson and Evan Peters.
Love it, love it.
We talked about this earlier. Cult last season was by far my favorite American Horror Story of all.
And see, I missed
there
that
have
I'm
been
have
ones
that
are
that.
You have to.
Yeah, because I love that series.
I'm telling you, the first episode I was like, what is happening with this weirdness? And then the second episode, I'm like, don't care. So in third episode, I was like, I need time to speed up, so it's this time next week.
Right.
It was so good.
Yeah, and some of them, like, they start out really great, and then they kind of taper off, and, like, I lose interest. Like, but this one, the entire, every episode was amazing.
Oh, that's great.
For me to have tuned out of the Lady Gaga one, I was like, I dipped out. That's bad.
They don't all, like Chip says,
they're not all hits.
Right.
But Cult?
All the way through, huh?
The hittiest of the hittest that ever hitted.
Okay, I don't know what that meant, but
Just saying, Ryan Murphy, do that again.
Right. Okay.
But different.
Don't do it
with
the same
a different
thing.
Theme.
Right.
Yes. But oof, was that a hit last year? You need to watch it maybe this weekend. And then we'll talk about it Monday.
Okay. The whole series?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Mm. And I will watch The Godfather.
No, you won't.
Okay. Probably not. What else we got for you? Tomorrow could be a very big day if you're into really gross drinks that Starbucks shouldn't be doing.
Uh-oh.
You know how they always launch those weird creations where it's like the unicorn drink or the whatever drink?
Sure.
Was that helpful?
No.
Okay. Business Insider reports that the Crystal Ball Frappuccino is making its way to stores. It's going to feature a cream base, peach flavors, topped with whipped cream and rock candy.
And meth.
Rock candy on top to make it a Crystal Ball Frappuccino. Apparently, we can taste them tomorrow. We might need to send mugs out.
Okay.
In the pouring rain.
I mean, it's worth it.
For a Crystal Ball Frappuccino. Ugh.
It'll probably take mugs 2 hours to get a half mile from here and bring
tops.
Them back.
So, yeah.
I'm in.
But he will have had seven in that time.
That's correct.
I know we don't like Taylor Swift stories.
Nope.
But you know what? Sometimes she does really good things. And it makes me think.
Sometimes it appears like she does, but then you find out in reality, maybe she didn't.
Well, she surprised newlyweds, Edward and Margaret McNoble. She sent them a bottle of Dom P when they tied the knot in East Meadow, New York. They absolutely love her and were thrilled to get a note that read, "Rumor has it you might be using my song in your wedding celebration, and it makes me so happy. Here's to the amazing day of your continuing love story. Love, Taylor." I mean, she doesn't have to do that. That just made that couple's day. That's pretty nice. Or whoever is monitoring your social media
right.
and sees that, but still.
Then she sued them for using her song?
Hold on, let me keep going. And then
assuming.
She sued them for using her song,
right?
Love
you should,
Story.
You should read the whole article.
Oh, shoot. No, that didn't happen, you guys. I'm just saying, maybe she's not as bad as we all think.
She is.
Okay, probably right. Some birthdays for you. Actor Gary Oldman. Actor Scott Eastwood, by the way. Right?
Right.
I mean, I'd do his dad. But Scott.
Same.
Actor Matthew Broderick. Actor Reese Darby. Rosie O'Donnell. And Sum 41 singer, Derek Whibley.
And Ronaldinho. How do you forget him all day?
Who?
Ronaldinho.
Oh.
One of the best soccer players ever.
Because I thought that Dave had misspelled Ronaldo, so
no,
I haven't been reading it.
Okay, no. It's a different person.
Ronaldinho.
Yes.
Is he Brazilian?
Yes.
Yes. He plays for Barca.
He used to play for Barca, yes. Used to.
Oh, it's Barca?
Yes.
Oh, because Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, who's so that? When I read it, I shouldn't say Barca in my head.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, he played for Barca, and now he plays for...
And now he's retired.
Man United.
No, he's retired now.
Yeah, he is.
But he was one of the best ever.
Wasn't he, though?
Yeah. What was your favorite goal that he scored?
Oh, the one against Argentina in the World Cup of flavor.
What?
I don't know. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. On your drive home today, and it might be a long one because of the rain, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Stryker will have that tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show. We got a tweet from a librarian.
Yes.
Because we were talking about this 52-year-old guy that was sniffing women's feet.
Mm-hmm.
That was his sexual turn-on. And she said, you wouldn't believe the stuff librarians have seen.
Yeah. And then she also said, we do take people out. Don't think we don't do it.
We're badass.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we're gonna talk S that librarians have seen.
Are we really?
Yes.
Perhaps we need to get a hold of Tracy Mayfield.
Maybe we need to try that.
Yes.
Jim Rome joins us as he does on Thursdays with sports. We talked to Dr. Drew, and we've got your tickets for the sold-out April Foolishness as well.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock. Cannot in good conscience suggest you for any kind of broadcast employment.